You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Health and wellness.
And this health and wellness feature is brought to you by Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness, so much for so much less. What are we talking about today? We're talking about memories. How do our memories work? Have you ever wondered how it is that you are able to remember some things but not the others? There's some events in your childhood that can be remembered so vividly, but not what you had for breakfast yesterday morning. So the terms short-term and long-term memory are sure to come up in this conversation around our memory and how it works. And I've got someone who is just a brilliant guest on this, Dr. Mark Solms, who is a professor and director of neuropsychology at UCT. Thank you so much for your time, Doctor. Welcome to the show.
It's a great pleasure. Thank you.
And I want to take your calls as listeners as well. Give me a call on 011-883-0702 to join this conversation. Are you one of those people that struggle with remembering events from the past? Do you have specific memories that you actually are able to go back to from when you were 2 years old? I certainly struggle with that. But when I think of traumatic moments, I do remember some of the things. So please share your experiences with us on 011-883-0702. Your WhatsApp's on 072-702-1702 and your SMS is on 31702. So, Doctor, what is memory and how basically do our memory work?
Well, the main purpose of memory is to learn from the past so as to make better choices in the future. We don't have to reinvent the wheel every day. So the purpose of memory is effectively better predictions.
Mm. What is the difference between the short-term and long-term memory? Because we often hear that a lot, in discussions. I've got a short-term memory, I've got a long-term memory. So what's the difference between the two?
Well, first of all, I must clarify that different people mean different things by those terms.
Mm.
So we, in neurology and neuropsychology, when we speak of short-term memory, what we mean is what happened over the last few seconds. That uses a different part of the brain. This information is stored in short-term memory, but really for a very brief time. And short-term memory is a very small place. Long-term memory is all the rest of it. But we divide long-term memory into what we call remote memory and recent memory. And most lay people, when they speak of short-term memory, what they mean is recent events. And recent memory is, odd as it may seem, is less reliable than remote memory. So our old memories are much more securely consolidated in our brains than recent memories are. Mm. And you only really become aware of that as you age. Those of your listeners who are sort of 60 and over will know the truth of what I'm saying, that they can remember things that happened long ago much better than they can remember what happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Why is it possible, Doc, that some people will remember certain events from their childhoods, but others don't? I mean, I often talk to some friends who tell me about what happened when they were 4 years old. And I ask, what? I mean, how do you go back down that line? And I can't remember much of that except some specific moments, whether it's maybe I remember a feeling because it was my six-year birthday party, or I remember a traumatic incident because it's the trauma that I suppose I've been carried since then. But some of us struggle to go back down memory lane to when we were 4, to when we were 3. So how is it possible that some are able to do that and some of us aren't?
Well, there are several things to say about that. The first is that the brain is obviously maturing in childhood. And so in the first 2 to 3 years of life, the conscious memory structures, what we in neuroscience call declarative memory, the conscious memory structures are not yet fully functioning. And so although we do learn things, obviously, in the first 2 to 3 years of life, like how to walk and how to talk, nevertheless, we don't remember those lessons. We can't. So that's one factor, is the maturational one, that the first 2 to 3 years of life, none of us can remember. If anybody tells you they remember something like their second birthday, or even worse than that, they remember being born. You must know it's not true.
Imagine someone saying they remember being born. But there are people like that. Hey, Dr. Solms, who will say, I mean, I used to watch Idols a lot, and they would ask, so when did you start singing? And then the person will say, I started singing when I was 2 years old. My mom used to do this. My father used to do this. And you ask, really?
Yeah. So a lot of our childhood memories that we take to be memories, direct memories, are in fact secondhand things that we hear from our parents or from our siblings. And then we sort of import those stories and turn them into memories, although they're not really memories.
They're stories that we are being told. I'm taking your calls on 011-883-0702. What's your contribution to this conversation? Are you struggling with remembering things from when you were young? Are you one of those that remember when you were born, when you were 2 years old? Give me a call and tell me if maybe you're getting older and now you're starting to trace your steps and you're starting to remember a lot of things. Doc, I want to ask about rejigging that memory. So if I want to go back to when I was 13 years old, is there a way where I can just rejig my memory to go back down that memory lane so I remember what happened when I was 13?
Yes. Let me take up, first of all, the point you made a moment ago about traumatic memories.
Yeah.
That's a common experience, what you've had, that what stands out in memory is the emotionally really significant moments. And that links up with two factors. The one is that the brain mechanisms for emotional memory are different from neutral memories. There's a part of the brain called the amygdala that's involved in emotional memory, and also there are brain chemicals, principally a hormone called cortisol, which burns those memories into your brain. And that has everything to do with what I said about memory being for predicting the future. Obviously, if something really emotionally important happened, that's a lesson you don't easily forget, because you don't want it to happen again. So there's that difference between emotional memories and neutral memories. But when it comes to neutral memories, let me first of all reassure you that you remember a hell of a lot more than you know you remember. I mentioned earlier the distinction between declarative and non-declarative memories. You know, the things that you're able to bring to mind are one set of memories. But then there's a much larger store of memories, which is things that you've learned and which have an influence on your behavior. In other words, which alter your predictions about the future. Mm. You just don't know that you've learned those things. Like those first 3 years of life where we learn so many significant things, we can't bring those memories to consciousness. So the fact that you can't draw it up into mind doesn't mean it's not there. And one of the ways in which that is illustrated is by dreams. We often have these memories that pop into our dreams that we didn't know that we had, you know, and then suddenly, you know, you remember the most concrete and specific moment from some obscure point in your life. But the thing is that you certainly can train memory. There are all sorts of ways in which you can do it, both how to commit things to memory in order to decide this thing I want to learn and want to keep it in mind, but then also going back to old memories. It's a matter of, most of us don't wallow in the past. There's no reason to. But if, for example, you go to psychotherapy, which is all about remembering the past, then with the help of a psychotherapist, you can dredge up all manner of details. You can fill years of psychotherapy with memories that you didn't even know that you had. And it's like a flag. I remember this thing, and then that's a kind of signpost that there lies many more things. And, you know, once you allow yourself to wander around there, it all comes back. Another very interesting thing is in the very elderly, and some of your listeners might also recognize this, when we get really old, I don't mean 60, but, you know, sort of like 80s and 90s, we have a thing called incontinent nostalgia, which is a really bizarre word, where you can't stop memories, really unexpected, concrete, detailed memories from your childhood just come flooding back. And many elderly people find it quite astonishing and enjoyable to have that. So it again proves the point that we remember a hell of a lot more than we realize we do.
Yeah.
Our memories are vast places.
Yeah. Let me play some voice notes and take some calls. Voice notes are coming through on 0727021702.
I have a problem with remembering, more especially when it's something that I have to read in my own. I do struggle on that thing, and I wonder if there is a kind of help I can get.
Is there some help that he could get, Doctor? Let me just add there, because I have also had problems. You know, I've got instances when I will even be talking on air and I just remember a specific word that I want to use. So I remember, just a specific word sometimes that you want to reference. And it's just as simple and as clear, but it's just not coming to your mind. What can we do?
Yeah, so that oddly, in neurology and neuropsychology, we classify things slightly differently from how the lay public do. So that we wouldn't call that a memory problem. We call that a language problem, word-finding difficulty. And it's got to do with the language mechanisms of the brain rather than with the memory mechanisms. But the main issue in word-finding difficulty is you must remember that words are highly specific and highly abstract things. So there's not much for you to hang it on, and there's a very precise target. Like trying to remember what happened yesterday, there's a whole lot of redundancy there. You can pick up any part of it and then fill in the gaps. But if it's one precise word, you know, there's no alternative. It's got to be just that word.
Yeah.
And ironically, the more you try to find it, the less likely you are. You're limited by trying. So the best thing to do is to just give up, and then the word comes to you automatically. As to the voice note, it overlaps slightly with what I just said about words being abstract things, and that makes them harder to remember than concrete things. And so the technique to use to enable you to remember something that you're reading is to turn it into visual images. So to deliberately picture the words, you know, picture the scene, try to turn it into a story where you're actually walking through a landscape. And so, you know, the abstract thing is it's about the trees and about cars and about numbers. So say, you know, the number 12, then, you know, try and visualize it as, okay, I saw this boy while I was walking down the path. There were trees on the left and such and such. And then there was this boy with a number 12 on his T-shirt. And, you know, you picture it like that. And just a few key points in vivid, concrete imagery.
Yeah.
And that enables you to store it much easier.
All right. Let's go to the lines now. Cindy, so are you calling us from Midrand? Good morning.
Hi, Clement. I've got a speaker problem. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I just wanted to say, back when I was in varsity, so my friends would just talk about their childhood and just basically like, you know, these moments, the first day of school or, you know, when they had a birthday. And I just struggled to remember. And I remember saying, I think it's a problem because I just don't seem to remember my childhood.
Yeah.
And now that I have kids, I remember almost every single thing, and it's so funny because of, like you say, it just comes randomly, and I'm like, oh wow, this actually happened.
Yeah. How old are you now? How old are you now? So now that you're remembering things now, at what age did you start remembering?
I'm 30 now, and I had my first born 2 years ago.
Okay. Cindy, so thank you so much. Apologies for that line. It wasn't the clearest. Doctor, but Cindy says there that, look, the older that she's been growing, that's when she started remembering some things from when she was young. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, but it's not because of aging. What she's saying is that she couldn't remember her own childhood. But then when she herself had children, the experiences with her children brought back her own childhood. And that's a good example of what I was saying earlier, that the memories were there, she just didn't have access to them.
Yeah.
And then when she had the cues, the prompts, of these, of seeing her children going through the same sorts of experiences that she went through, that brought it all back. So that illustrates very well how those memories that we think we've lost, we haven't lost.
Exactly. Jane, you're in Alberton. Good morning. Hello, Jane. All right. Okay, we don't have Jane there. Doctor, let me thank you. I think this has been very, very, very helpful. I really appreciate your time and helping us understand how our memories work.
Very good. Thank you.
All right.
Remember, you can rely on your memory more than you think you can. Even if you don't know it's there, it's there.
Lovely.
It's after you in the background.
Ah, thank you so much, Dr. Mark Solms. Yeah, have a good day. Dr. Mark Solms is a professor and director of neuropsychology at UCT.